Good afternoon. It's good to see you all here again. Study another portion of God's Word. This afternoon, I wish to speak on a subject about the virtuous woman. There's much to be said about godly women in the Bible, and I'm taking this from the 31st chapter of Proverbs. So if you want to turn to that chapter, we'll be going back there throughout this brief, basically a chapter study concerning the virtuous woman. The text coming from the 10th verse. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Certainly this is any good question that any young man that is looking for a godly Christian wife should be asking themselves. Where could he find such a one? Certainly there's no better place to start than in the church. For a virtuous woman, as we will see, is certainly a godly, God-fearing Christian woman. A virtuous woman certainly deserves all our recognition, all our support and respect, and certainly thankfulness. You could not put enough Mother's Days in the year to give the proper recognition due a virtuous woman, a woman who lives her life married to a man, a husband, and subject to her husband in doing the Lord's will. There's not a man alive in this world who would not desire to have a virtuous woman as a wife. No man wants a promiscuous, deceitful, immoral woman as a wife. Every sane man certainly would desire a woman of utmost moral character and fortitude. Virtue is defined as the quality of doing what is right in God's eyes and avoiding what is wrong. One who is virtuous is one who practices moral excellence and righteousness and goodness. There is a very true saying, you've probably heard it before, behind every successful man is a good woman. But just how successful could that man be if behind him is a good, virtuous, godly woman? Certainly, with this saying, it's the success here in this world. But to be truly successful is to strive for a heavenly home, and of course, one day make it there and be welcomed into that heavenly home. That's what we should consider being successful, because certainly heaven is our goal. We should be placing our treasures there. It should be the mark that we're pressing for, and we should do everything in our power and our abilities here upon this earth to make it there and bring as many as we can with us. When God looked at the man he created, he saw incompleteness, instability, and weakness. In Genesis 2 and 18, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." So we see here that when he created Eve, he created Eve to help man, to help Adam. And in God's words, he described the woman as a helpmeet for him. God saved the best for last and created woman as man's help, not just to cook or clean and provide companionship. As she demonstrates the special God-given graces of womanhood, she further enhances the family's life along with the rest of society. Do you want to know what a society's longevity depends upon? A strong family unit, a strong married couple that raise strong, moral, God-fearing children that are obedient to their parents. Virtuous women have been responsible for the sustained existence of societies and civilizations. Immoral women, though, have caused their ruin and collapse and downfall because their families were not strong in the Lord. In Proverbs 11 and 16, the Bible says, "A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches." You know, it's pretty close to impossible for anyone to remove or take away riches from a strong man, and it is impossible to try to remove honor from a gracious woman. A gracious woman develops honor unto herself. She retains that honor, and of course she raises up that honor to the man. But she that hateth righteous things is a throne of dishonor. A woman that is not gracious, is not virtuous, she brings shame upon the man. She brings shame and dishonor upon her husband. A good wife, though, is an honor to her husband, and a bad wife is her husband's criticism. If this is so, then That is why that man should be very careful with whom he marries. In Proverbs 14 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. By her prudent, conscientious, diligent, and hard-working management of her household, she increases property in the family, furniture in the house, food, raiment for her household, but more importantly, morality and goodness. This is the true building of a house. But a wife of extravagance, wastefulness, recklessness, thoughtlessness, unruliness, and carelessness acts differently, and of course the opposite is the result. Household furniture, far from being increased, is dilapidated. Her household is ill-fed, ill-clothed, uneducated, and worse yet, unruly. Lawbreakers they are, with no knowledge of God, nor care to have that knowledge." In Proverbs here, in the 31st chapter, we have a wonderful poem that I'd like to, we're going to study on this afternoon, and it talks about this virtuous woman that we're talking about. It helps us understand and admire the great virtues of a godly woman, and it emphasizes her true value in our lives and to mankind, starting in verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above riches. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. So will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretched out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Notice here that this is not just some man's unreasonable expectation of a perfect woman. Notice that these are the words of a woman in the first verse, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. These are the words of Solomon here, though, who was called Lemuel, that is, God with him or them, because God ordained him as to be king over Israel. But this poem was the doctrine which his mother Bathsheba taught him. First of all, this afternoon, let us look at verse 10 to start off, which describes a virtuous woman's value. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. We notice here in verse 10 that a virtuous woman is priceless. There's no other way to describe it. There's nothing more valuable than her. She is priceless, a virtuous woman. She's a crowning jewel, a treasure by God. In Proverbs 12 and 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. A virtuous woman, a woman of worth, one who possesses both moral goodness and mental strength and enthusiasm, is one who is moral, honest, upright, good, and of course righteous. There have been many women who, through their immoral activities, have brought shame on their husband's name. Yes, men have, through their own immoral activities, have brought shame on their own name themselves. People don't look upon virtuous wives with a sense of shame when their husbands have brought shame on their own name, but a bad wife can certainly bring shame on her husband's name. But how great it is to have a worthy moral woman as a wife for all of one's days. A virtuous woman certainly is priceless and is more valuable than any amount of riches. Despite what many say, the Bible does not suppress women, but elevates them and honors them. In Proverbs 19 and 14, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. There is a reason for her worth. In verse 11 and 12, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Her husband has this great confidence, knowing that she will always do what is best for him and his family. A man can always trust a virtuous woman. He doesn't have to spend the time worrying about her. His mind can be at ease so that he can be about doing the good things that really matter, providing for his family and being about the Lord's business. Next, a virtuous woman's life is described in verses 13 through 24. In verses 13 through 15, we find that she is a hard worker. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She looks for tasks which need to be done, and willing to do them rather than complain or leave them undone. She goes to whatever lengths she must to acquire the needs, the things needed for her family, in verse 14. And in 15, her greatest satisfaction comes from providing for her family all hours of the day and night. She's also wise and industrious, verses 16 through 19. She is a good business manager who can make wise decisions. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She also prepares herself for the vigorous work of providing food and clothing for her family. Verse 17 through 19, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold a distaff. She uses great diligence and responsibility in her work. She puts forth her utmost strength in her business and responsibilities. She's also kind and generous, verse 20 tells us, where she reaches out her hand to the poor, yeah, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She still has time for others, despite all her busyness and what she's doing about the family. She's truly charitable, this verse shows us. She knows that in every portion of a man's gain, God requires a portion thereof for the poor. And if this is not given, God's blessing is not in the rest. She's not contented to give the minimum. With one hand, she relieves the general poor, so to speak. But with both hands, she shows her great compassion and gives to the needy, to the afflicted poor. She's also a great benefit to her family, verses 21 through 24. She provides for every need of her family. Verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's not afraid of any adverse weather or adverse conditions in life. She will maintain their health and comfort even in the cold, harsh winter seasons. She provides not only for their basic necessity, but also for their delight and ornament. In verse 23, we find her husband is known in the gates. She's a great benefit to her family and to her husband. When she's an asset to her husband standing in the community. Here in this example, she supports him and provides a strong, clean home, free from defilement, free from anything that might bring criticism or backbiting. He is respected not only on the neatness and cleanliness of his person and dress, but because he is the husband of a woman who is held in great esteem. Her complete and competent handling of household affairs gives him the time to devote himself to the civic interest of the community or to his providing for his family and his means of making a living. a man can do no wrong when a virtuous woman stands behind him. She is a loving wife and strongly desires to do her part in maintaining her husband's respectability and honor. And of course, in verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She even brings extra income when needed for the family. But notice in verse 22 that we skip that she also does something for herself. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. But a virtuous woman is not a slave, despite all the work that she does, maybe all the work that is expected of her. She's not a slave. Her hard work buys for her the right to have some time for herself. A virtuous woman's character is further explained, described in verses 25 through 27, where in verse 25 it shows a virtuous woman possesses great strength and honor. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. You know, our deeds that we do, our works that we do here upon the earth, we will one day give account of. Certainly, if we live a righteous, godly life, we will rejoice in time to come, so to speak, knowing that we will be rewarded for the things that we've done here upon this earth. And it's just certainly something to think about, knowing that we need to do those things that Jesus wishes us to do, which are doing things and storing our treasures in heaven. A virtuous woman is adorned, we find here in 1 Peter, with the fine trappings of the inward woman. In 1 Peter 3, starting in verse 3, certainly it is part of our society. It has been for many, many years. Of all the things that are available for women to dress up, the makeup, all the different things that women can use to dress their hair up, all the jewelry and gold and the apparel that is there. But what is great in the sight of God is what he considers a great price is a meek and quiet spirit. Certainly a man or a woman can dress themselves up in great affair and apparel and jewelry, making themselves or appear to be a great good person. But the Lord sees through all that. He looks into the innermost parts of our hearts. He knows who are meek. He knows those that have quiet spirits, which we find here in verse 4 is of a great price. Starting in verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. So we see here that is a meek and quiet spirit that the Lord looks for in women, men too as well. We can't fool him. He knows those that are true blue, who are truly have a godly character, truly have great love and kindness and meekness and gentleness and humbleness in our hearts, and it's what we should strive to have within us. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, we read in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. A virtuous woman certainly possesses wisdom. Certainly not wisdom of this world, but certainly godly wisdom. In verse 26, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. A virtuous woman knows when to speak, what to say, and how to say it. She has something to say worth listening to, and she does it in a way that does not offend anyone. She certainly knows, again, what to say, who to say it to, and when to speak those loving words of kindness. In Proverbs 14 and 33, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Proverbs 8 and 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. Proverbs 19 and 8. So a virtuous woman certainly possesses wisdom. There's no way that she could be about doing the other great and wonderful things without that godly wisdom. And certainly that is the first thing that anyone must get is to get the great wisdom so that we may understand the great knowledge found in God's Word that we need to apply and structure our lives after. A virtuous woman also stays busy. In verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She has no time to be idle. Anyone that wishes to take care of others, their loved ones, to be an example, certainly has no time to be idle. They're always about doing things and being busy. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 11 through 15. But the younger widows refuse, for when they had begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. There's so many terrible things that an individual can get involved in when they are idle. Certainly there are many things that can tempt one away from the Lord. We need to not put ourselves in a position where we are idle. We know the idle hands can get us into trouble and be about doing things that would make Satan happy. Certainly we ought to use our time and our mind and our efforts in things that would build us up and that would cause us to put more and more treasure in heaven. The results of a virtuous woman's life we find in verses 28 and 29 in the text. First of all, a virtuous woman receives praises from her family. In verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praise her. There's nothing after all the hard work, nothing better a lot of times than to receive thanks for all the hard work you do. Certainly many times a simple, honest, in a loving thank you for someone that has done us a good deed or that has looked after us or taken care of us from time to time. There's nothing better than to be thanked for that, and it brings much pleasure to the person that has provided it. A virtuous woman excels all others. In verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Certainly this is undoubtedly a speech from the husband, because here he gives testimony to the excellence of his wife. Certainly a Christian husband should give testimony or praise to his wife. There's nothing better to receive the praise from one another, the praise from our spouses for the good things and the love that we share and do for them. It goes a long way to be praised in a humble way. And finally here we find that a virtuous woman's success is due to a secret. It's not really a secret to those from the body of Christ or for anyone that would read God's Word, especially the New Testament Scriptures. We find this in verse 31. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. We might credit a virtuous woman's success to her charm, but that would be really deceitful, or to her beauty, but that would be vain and fleeting. Her success as a virtuous woman is her great fear of the Lord. It's where the wise life begins. In Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9 and 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The virtuous woman's works, they precede her. They speak of her, and because through what she's done, she's built herself a solid reputation. Yes, she will receive the praise of others, her husband and others, her children, but more importantly, we know that we are known of God by our works, our good works, and that's what we should strive as we do the things here upon this earth, to look for praise from God and not others. We should look for approval from God for what we do here upon this earth, and not, of course, approval of others to its exclusion of God. Finally, I want to try to wrap this all up with one last scripture verse in Ephesians 5, verse 23 through 25, where the apostle says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." As members of the church, as the bride of Christ, we should be just as virtuous as this virtuous woman here described in the 31st chapter of Proverbs. We should build our houses strong, never bring shame on Christ's name, be wise and industrious, always busy being about the Lord's work and will, to do His will, to be kind and loving and generous to others, have the moral strength to resist evil, and be a benefit to others, especially to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Living a life showing the fear of the Lord, and one day we would look to receive the praise of our Savior Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful lesson to understand the value of a virtuous, godly woman that I know each one of us have at least one or more in our lives, to give them recognition where recognition is due. There's always a place for a woman for the work in the church, even though the apostle tells that a woman to be silent in the church. Certainly that doesn't put her to any lower level. We are all on one level with Jesus Christ, and in God's eyes, there's work that women do better than men. And certainly it's great to know that we have virtuous women in the church, because it builds us up, it strengthens us, and let us not ever forget the great value of virtuous women that we have in the church. And of course, as the bride of Christ, this lesson we can apply to ourselves as members of the church, as His bride, that we should do all these great things that virtuous women do. We should do as individuals, as the members of the body of Christ, and as a whole. That is my lesson for this afternoon. If there be one that desires the service of the church, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?